I have two books at my bedside, Lieutenant. The Marine Corps Code of Conduct and the King James Bible.
I hate snakes, Jack! I hate them! And may the Christian Lord guide my hand against your Roman popery!
And they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
We're on a mission from God.
Entitled. You want answers!
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth! Maybe we should chug on over to Mamby Pamby Land, where maybe we can find some self-confidence for you, you jackwagon!
Coming to you live from his padded cell high atop Bethel Church, the most heralded, the most despised talk show in all of human history. This is the talk show Hell Hates. This is Pastor Mike Online.
And here we are coming to you live from our top secret broadcasting bunker here at Area 52. This is the talk show Hell Hates. The more you listen, the more you know why. Good to be with you today. Had a few problems there at the big inning, but the particular technical prowess that God has given me was able to overcome the devil's attempt at stopping this broadcast. And but anyway, good to be here anyway. I just happened to like it make some mistakes and figured out what it was. Anyway, good to be with you today. I gave everybody a chance. I was looking at the email address, PastorMikeOnline@gmail.com, giving everybody a chance to send in a question or a comment about something that I've said, something that I've done. It seems like people always have a comment or something to say about something that I do, or an accusation against somebody here at the church, or an accusation against somebody in my family, and they were all gone. They didn't say a word between Tuesday and today. I'm still monitoring the Pastor Mike Online email address just in case you are inclined to maybe send a comment, send a question, an observation. I would like to be able to provide things honest in the sight of all men. That means that there's not a broadcast Pastor Mike and then a quiet, private, secret Pastor Mike that I can't let anybody know about, because if I let people know about it, well, then that's gonna really hurt our ministry. Now, understand this. Everybody has secrets. Everybody has secrets. Things that we have done in the past that we don't want everybody in the world to know about. I am no different than anybody else in when it comes to that. I've got skeletons in my closet, and my skeletons are hanging right next to yours. But anyway, I've had people comment. Oh, let's see. What are some of the things that people have written in about? I had one guy that, and I'm not I'm dead serious on this. This is what he did. He was looking at the camera angle, the camera that shoots straight on, you know, down the center aisle of the church, and you know, looks at the communion table and then the pulpit and so on. And this guy said, "Well, I used to kind of listen to Pastor Mike. I thought he was okay, but then I found out his secret Masonic affiliations." And I'm just like, boy, I can't wait to hear this one. I wonder when it was I joined the lodge. So anyway, he proceeds to tell me about or write about, you know, I'm not the one he's addressing. He's talking to other people on his YouTube video. And he said, "You can plainly see there in the front of his church on the communion table, the two pillars of Jachin and Boaz." And I'm like, "Where? Where are they?" And he pointed out that my wife, he didn't know my wife did this. My wife helps to do a lot of the decorations of the church during, you know, during different seasons. And she had placed two candles, unlit candles, on the very back of the communion table, one on each side of the pulpit. That's it. And this guy made the huge stretch that said that I apparently had made a secret pact with Freemasons, and that I had joined with the Masons. And the proof, undeniable proof of it was the two candles that were on each side of the pulpit on our communion table. One, obviously, it is clear to everybody that this one candle represents Jachin, this other candle represents Boaz. And I'm just like, really? That's all you got? That's it, huh? And then I can't remember exactly what it was. It's the same guy that made the, in the same video where he's talking about Jachin and Boaz and the candles. He's talking about this area of white that goes from the floor of the stage all the way up to the top of the vaulted ceiling in our church. Now that was put there. I know the people who built this church. I personally knew them. I grew up under their Sunday school lectures. I grew up under their preaching, their teaching. I knew these men. And I have asked pastors of old, you know, just out of curiosity, you know, so-and-so, and what kind of person was he? And not one time did I ever hear any of the pastors that I had talked to that was in the past, not one time did any of them say, "Well, you know, you remember Brother So-and-so, Mike?" "Yeah." "Well, turns out that they were a secret Freemason. And they had been sent here to this church to infiltrate it and blah, blah, blah." "Oh, no, are you kidding me? Oh, I can't believe that." But that never happened. Never happen. In fact, I will tell you this. We had a man and his wife that came to this church. They left the church they were attending because the Sunday school teacher slash deacon was teaching on, I can't remember what the subject was, but he got off on Freemasonry, and he said, they are a murderous cult. Well, this man got pretty upset about it. And he went to question this particular deacon about it. The deacon admitted he didn't have any evidence to say that. So he offered to withdraw as Sunday school teacher. Well, this is, you know, some things just run deep with certain people. And so he left that church. And he started coming here. He informed the pastor of this story and informed the pastor that he was, in fact, a Freemason. But he had not been to a Masonic meeting for well over 20 years. He was still paying dues, but he was not attending any of the services, the rituals, so on and so on. And talk about how God changes a person. I'm going to share this with my hand held to the sky. This is the gospel truth. This is how this happened. The pastor of the church decided, rather than go after this guy, to just let it lay. And I learned this from a guy I used to work with years ago. We called him Cowboy because he was a cowboy. And anyway, I had pulled into our shop, where, you know, we met every morning, met every afternoon, and talked about what we did and so on. And I was walking out of the shop, and I see Cowboy, and he's got this lariat, and he's spinning it around and around like this. And he always said, goodbye, Michael. And I said, goodbye, Cowboy. And I'm like, I know what he's going to do. He's going to throw that thing around in front of me and think that I'm as stupid as a cow, and that I'm so stupid I'm going to step inside that thing and deliberately get myself caught in it. So he's just doing this. And all of a sudden, he let that thing go, and it went in front of me, went around me, and landed in front of me. And I thought, aha, I got him now. I ain't stepping in that. Well, as soon as I picked up my right foot off the ground, he gave that thing a flip. It's a very stiff rope, a lariat is. He gave that thing a flip, and it raised up and grabbed my foot, and he pulled the knot, and he turns around. I turn around. I've got my leg up in the air like this, and he said, leave it lay and watch it pay, Michael. And I'm going, how did you do that? He said, all I was doing was just waiting for you to walk by. But anyway, the pastor of the church decided concerning this man that was a Freemason to let it go, to leave it lay and watch it pay. He told the man, you know, of course I'm going to have to, you know, if I have a message that I feel leads me in the direction of Freemasonry. You understand, I either am forced to teach it because you're here, or I'm forced to teach it as if you weren't here. But either way, I've got to teach it. And the man said, well, I understand that. And so anyway, a couple months later, the man came up to the pastor between Sunday school and church. And he said, Pastor, can I talk to you for a minute? Pastor says, sure. They go into pastor's office. This man reaches into his pocket, jacket pocket, and pulls out an envelope. Pastor took it, and he's going, oh, man, this guy's going to resign the church. I just see it coming. He reached in there and pulled out this letter, and he read it. And his eyes started tearing up. His jaw dropped to the floor. And it said something to the effect of, my dear Masonic, fraternal friends, so-and-so, I've been a Mason all these years, blah, 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 have not been a practicing Mason. But he said, I have come to the conclusion that the objects and the ideas of Masonry are not compatible with that of Freemason. And I was like, I couldn't believe what this pastor was telling me. And he said, yeah, he said he showed me his resignation letter right then and right there. And he gave him a big old hug and everything like that. And this pastor said, Michael, the lesson is, sometimes you just wait and let God do it. You just wait. You have patience with people, and you just wait and you let God deal with it. You let God take care of it. I guarantee you, God will absolutely stun you with what he is able to do. And you may have figured out that the pastor in this story was me. I can't tell you who the Mason was. He asked me not to tell anybody, so I won't. Anyway, so do we have any question? Let me pull my email up here. Ah, looky here, we got one. One from Watchman for Christ. Good afternoon, Pastor. I just wanted to know more of your thoughts on Israel versus Iran. I really believe Israel needs to respond, but I also believe that if they respond, that may cause the world countries to go against Israel. Oh, I know who you are. Here's something I'm going to say, just as a human response to this. Okay. I got picked on a lot when I was a kid, and primarily it was because I never really stood up for myself. And, to this day, I'm not all that adept at standing up for myself, standing up and remaining standing and upright and not bowing the knee to anybody and I mean, that's not who I am. I you can talk about me, and I'll get upset about it. I'll get mad about it. But as far as doing something about it or trying to come up with something that'll make you shut your mouth, that's just really not. It's not really my nature. Israel, they have to look back at the last 75 to 80 years of their, let's see, 1947, 57, 67, 77, 87, 97, 107, 117. No, that's not right. Yeah, that's yeah, okay. 47, 57, 67, 77, 87. That's 50 years. 97, 2007, 2017. And we're getting close to, that's 80 years. We're getting close to their 90th anniversary as a nation. There may still be people in Israel who have a number tattooed on their arm given to them by a Nazi soldier. Israel, and the whole point of them having their own nation state, had everything to do with they had no place to go in Europe during World War II. You see, when Hitler invaded, like Poland, or when he invaded the Netherlands, when he invaded any of the European nations, his goal was to, number one, be the ruler of those nations and take advantage of their natural resources. Natural resources. In other words, steal their stuff. But when it came to their Jews, Hitler was concerned with going into a foreign country, getting the census of all the people that lived in that country, find out who were Jews, and if you happen to be Jews, didn't matter what country you came from, you were all Israelites. And as such, then, you get gassed in the gas chambers, then your body's thrown into the furnace, and that's it. Oh, by the way, we're going to take your gold teeth, and we're going to add it to our bucket of gold teeth. They had millions and millions of dollars worth of gold teeth that they had taken out of the mouths of these Jewish prisoners. And so, let's see here. What was the question? When it comes to Israel's response to Iran, for what Iran tried to do, and if the world is not in favor of Israel responding, Israel has to say, we don't care. We don't care. We have to respond in such a manner as that it will make the next nation who considers doing this to us, it will make them think twice about whether or not they want to do it or not. Israel is among the few nations that it could be said they are of a superpower type nation. In other words, they have nuclear bombs, or as some people say, nuclear. They've got nuclear bombs nuclear missiles, and they are prepared to use them. I hope that it never comes to that. But, you know, who knows? It could be exactly what's going to happen. I don't know. But definitely the world would change if a nation of any kind, whether it was Japan or it was Israel, yes, Israel has nuclear weapons, Argentina, I believe, Peru, no, maybe not, Great Britain has them. Trying to think of who all else. Pakistan has nuclear weapons, and so does India. They have nuclear weapons. And then, of course, Russia and China. And if worse comes to worse, and the nation of Israel decides that they have no other choice but to use a nuclear weapon against Iran or against any rogue state, definitely that's going to change the world. It really will. And I personally would hate to see something like that going on. But as far as what the other nations think of Israel, Netanyahu doesn't care. He really doesn't. He's going to do what he believes is right for his people. And, if that means an all-out attack on some nation, whether it be Iran or any of the other nations that decide to pick a fight with Israel, and then Israel finds out that these nations of the world care nothing for them, well, at least you know who's on your side and who isn't. And that, again, is one of the themes of Obadiah, if you go back and read that. Let's see here. I got too many things open here. I got another one here. Israel, number of years. I did a quick calculation, and it appears that Israel will be 77 years old this year. Interesting number. And so he did 2024 minus 1947 equals 77 years. Now, I would say that is interesting. Obviously, it's interesting. What does it mean, or does it mean anything? I don't know. You know what? Let's look up. Let's see. The 77th chapter of the Bible would be Exodus. It would be, what would it be? What would it be? It would be, the 77th chapter would be right there. Exodus 27. Thou shalt make an altar of shittim wood, 5 cubits long and 5. And by the way, do you know, let me put this up on the screen so you can see it. Do you know what shittim wood is? It is, we call it now, acacia. That's what we call it, the acacia tree. And if I remember right, the word shittim is 33, let's see here. There's another variation of this. I know for a fact that it's mentioned. It's mentioned one time without the H, Sitim. S-I-T-T-I-M. No. How is it mentioned? Lord, help me. Shittim, 32. Shittah, 1. There it is. The Shittah tree. So we have the Shittim tree or the Shittah tree mentioned 33 times. And like I said, the modern term for that tree is acacia. And do you know what, as far as the type of tree that it is? Whether it's like it belongs to the oak family or the cedar family or whatever. Does anybody know? If you go to Africa, you will always see these trees. They bush out and then they seem to be all flat across the top. They're thorn trees. The Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Covenant, the Table of Showbread, and all of those other trees were, let me get back to 77th chapter of the Bible. And right there we go. The altar there was made of Shittim wood. The Table of Showbread was. The Ark of the Covenant was. The altar was. What else? And there was just a lot of things in the tabernacle that was made of Shittim wood. And what happens is, get this picture. The Shittim wood being, of course, the thorn tree. It's where the thorns came from. So it bears thorns, just like Paul mentioned in Hebrews. So it bears thorns. When you have Shittim wood, and then it's overlaid with gold, you take gold leaf, and you lay it over the Shittim wood, and you take a hammer and your tools and you smooth it out. Then you've got, you know, the makings of the Ark of the Covenant, the makings of the altar of incense, and so on. The picture of that is that the wood itself represents us, who are full of the curse of sin. Each and every one of us have sinned in the eyes of God. We are full of that sin. There's no way to separate from us the thorn part of the tree from the regular part of the tree, because any part of that tree has the ability to bear thorns and briars. Now, what does... Let's see, Hebrews chapter 6 have to do with this? Well, I will show you simply because you asked nicely. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 7. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. So, the gold being laid over the shittim wood is a picture of Christ overlaying his righteousness over our body of sin. It's like we have been clothed in righteousness. We have been overlaid with gold so that when God sees us, he sees that we have been purified, that we have that all of the things that we used to do, all of the things that we were, all of the things that we used to revel in, those things are now gone off from us, and we have been covered in pure gold. I like that. Man, I like that. Blesses my heart. So we have an altar of shittim wood. This is, again, the 77th chapter of the Bible. And the five cubits long and the five cubits abroad. And the altar shall be four square. The height thereof shall be three cubits. Thou shalt make the horns of it upon the four corners thereof. His horns shall be of the same. And thou shalt overlay it with brass. And thou shalt make his pans to receive his ashes and his shovels and his basins and his flesh hooks and his fire pans. All the vessels thereof thou shalt make of brass. And thou shalt make for it a grate of network of brass. And upon the net shalt thou make four brazen rings in the four corners thereof. And thou shalt put it under the compass of the altar beneath, and the net may be even to the midst of the altar. And thou shalt make staves for the altar, staves of shittim wood, and it shall be upon the two sides of the altar to bear it. Hollow the boards shalt thou make it, as it has been showed thee in the mount, so shall they make it. One of the things that sticks out to me in this passage is that God is describing how he wants it, and Moses is trying to get an idea in his mind, and he's probably drawing some drawings of what he wants. You know, he thinks God is trying to describe this and such and so on. But God said, all right, time out. Moses, come with me. So Moses goes with God. God takes him up into heaven, shows him the courtroom of God, shows him where the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is going to sit and reign for 1,000 years. Whoopee, amen. He's going to show him all of those things, a glorious, glorious image. Only two people in the entire world that we know of ever got to see these two extremes of man's life. They got to see the current state of man and the ending of man. And I like that. Man, I like that. So anyway, that's 77th chapter of the Bible. There is no 77th book of the Bible. I do know that there is a 77th verse of the Bible. And let's see here. If I remember right, I think I know. Yeah, I know what it says. There we go. Before I go here, who can tell me what in the Bible carries the mark of the number 77? Who can tell me that? Who can tell me what that is? What the number 77 means? da 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 da. I guess nobody knows, so I'll just go ahead and tell them. The word church. Oh, yeah, I remember now. The word church, 77 times in the King James Bible. And, of course, the last occurrence, now watch this. You're going to see something cool. The last occurrence of the word church in the King James is when Jesus sees the dirt that the 77th occurrence church, the Church of the Laodiceans, has on them. They're all defiled. They're all filthy. They've got works of righteousness that are as filthy rags in God's sight. There's just no way that it can be cleaned off. And so Jesus says, I want you to buy of me white raiment, that you may at least look halfway decent, that you look clean on my judgment day. The 77th occurrence of the word church deals with to the church of the Laodiceans. That's the 77th occurrence, and then it talks about the Laodiceans. If I pull up the 77th verse of the Bible, do you think it'll have something to do with the, I don't want the book. I already have that. Old Testament, entire Bible. Huh. The 77th verse of the Bible, let's see here. We got 31. You have to excuse my math skills. They're almost none. So we have 31 plus. And then chapter 2. Chapter 2 has 25. That's 25 plus. That's 56. Chapter 3 has 24. Oops. 56 plus 24. 80. So we went a little too far. So this is verse 80, 79, 78. 77. Look at the 77th verse of the Bible. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. Are you kidding me? It matches perfect with the 77th occurrence. I'll show it to you. Let's type in church. We'll go to the 77th occurrence of the word church, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert neither cold nor hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and what? Naked. And naked is bad. Let's see here. I'm going to change screens just for a minute, because there is, I'm going to have to do this discreetly. There is a church that's disgusting. There's a book. There is a book called The Naked Church. Who told you that you were naked? Let's see here. Dr. Massenburg undresses and examines the deficiencies of the local church and challenges her to answer the question, who told you that you were naked? And then, of course, obviously, there are churches that really don't wear a lot of clothes. That's disgusting, people. That's very, very disgusting. Let's see here. Got any more questions coming in? I'm having fun with this. Mr. Ed, who sent that question, I did a quick calculation. It appears that Israel will be 77 years old this year. Interesting number. And so if so far the 77s that we have seen in the scriptures, and I know numbers can have dual meanings, but I would have to really, really give it some thought and see how things pan out with Israel. Since, you know, their birthing in 1947, and look it up, look, you know, at how things have happened in Israel up to this very day or year or whatever, seeing that they are 77 years old. That would be an interesting study to do. By the way, there are 77 names in the genealogy of Christ according to Luke chapter 3. That's an interesting number. I don't quite know exactly what it means, but to me it is very interesting. All right. Well, people, that's it. That's all the questions. I thought people would be going, oh, finally, Pastor Mike's answering questions. I want to send 20 questions in. And nobody really did that. We never did look up Romans 10. Somebody whose name is Aynon 33, A-Y-N-O-N 33, wrote, was never really sure what this meant. Is it not to question who goes to heaven or hell? And that's Romans 10, 6 and 7. I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure I know what you're getting at here. Romans 10. Let's see here. Romans 10, 6 and 7. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the pit, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. I don't know. What you're getting at with this question. So if you could elaborate a little bit, maybe that would help me understand what the Word of God is saying here. And I look forward to seeing the furthering of your question. All right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to be with you today. I've got another Watchmen or two. I know, in fact, I know I have two more that I need to record in this series called Sightings. Southwest Radio, we just did interviews with them yesterday. They will be, of course, offering those videos. Or you can come if you are in the area of Cincinnati, Ohio. We will be at the Marriott Hotel by the airport. Sweetie Pie and I and many others that are of sort of the same mindset. In other words, we're all crazy. We're all conspiracy theorists. We're crazy. We believe in ghosts. We believe in Bigfoots. And we believe in UFOs and all of that stuff. Giants, dragons, unicorns, you name it. We believe in all of it. And we're all going to be assembled together under one great big gigantic hut. And we're going to have us a good time in the Lord. I promise you we're going to have us a good time in the Lord. And that would be, let's see here. We're going to be there on June the 7th and the 8th. Mark it down in your calendars. And if you live anywhere in that area, please come and enjoy the conference. I think there's going to be some good topics there. And So I kind of like the good folks at Southwest Radio. They've always treated me well, just like the people up in Fargo. They always treated me well up there. I didn't mind helping them out with their conference because I knew those guys, when they didn't take in enough money to pay for the big meeting hall and to pay for all the speakers to come in and everything like that, the guys that ran the board of that, and it was a privately run deal. There wasn't some big, gigantic ministry that was doing it. Those guys paid out of their own pocket to keep that thing going. And finally, when COVID hit, that was sort of like a death blow to them. So, but anyway, the people at Southwest Radio, they may not agree with me 100%. I may not agree with them 100%. But they've never, ever told me that I could or could not say this, that, or the other. And as such, as long as I make it known wherever I go that I carry this disease called KJV positive. Okay? I don't care what people think of me. I don't care if people think I'm ignorant and unlearned. I don't care. You invite me to come to your conference and speak at your conference and tell me, you know, this is what we want you to preach about. I guarantee you at some point the Bible issue is going to roll into that. God's going to lead it to me. And if he does, I'm going to say it. And so far, they've never put their foot down on me. All right? Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for letting me come and be part of your life today. We had some really neat visitors the last few days, had several Sunday morning, and that was a joy to have them. We had folks from all the way up north in Minnesota. We had folks that escaped the north and now lived in the hottest place down south, somewhere in, I think it was New Mexico. And so we just, you know, we just want you to know, hey, if you ever think you're going to be in the area, drop by. Please drop by. We had a family that dropped by today. and they wanted to see everything and look at Area 52, and we showed it. I think it was yesterday, and we showed it to them, and they just enjoyed it. And I took their picture and going to send it to them standing in the top secret broadcasting bunker. All right. But anyway, if you find yourself in this area, come and pay us a visit. We'd love to see you. Our homecoming is coming soon. So mark your calendars for, let's see here. What happened to my calendar? First weekend in October or August. That would be August. I'm going to say August 9th, 10th, and 11th. I may not be positive on that, but that's what I'm going to say. I'm staying with that. I'm sticking to that. All right? All right. God bless you. I love you. We will see you later, alligator, after a while, crocodile.